Live life at your pace. Click the banner or go to visitwilliamsburg.com to discover how. Because here in Williamsburg, life moves at one pace, yours. Here, our waters are splashing and rejuvenating. Our history is for seeing and experiencing. Our theme parks are for riding and sometimes flying. And our great outdoors are yours for exploring and restoring. It's all waiting for you in Williamsburg. Book your trip today and live life at your pace.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Let's do it, baby boy.
I will say this right before the show. Kissel called himself a police officer.
I did not call myself a police officer. You called me a police officer and said I wasn't dressed for the job that you said I had.
But it's weird to think.
You just openly lied to start the show.
He believes somewhere inside of him, inside of that big skull of his, that big old melon that he's got on top of the beer pile that is his body. He thinks that he can arrest you. And what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it, audience?
I don't want to arrest anybody. I wanted to be a police officer when I was like 9. And my mom is so funny because she said, Benjamin, are you sure it's dangerous? And then I was like, you know what? I'll be a ninja instead. Sweet.
Think about ninjas. You got to be able to remove the bells from the mannequin.
I know.
It's extremely difficult.
When I was a child, I think I could have done the parchment paper where you walk on it, work on it.
I don't know. I think
I'm not saying
that you're gross. Yeah, but you were still like 6 foot.
No, I was tiny then.
But now it's actually probably opposite. You know when they get a dog and they've got the big paws and they're like, oh, look at that. He's going to grow into his paws.
Yeah.
I can imagine what your big flapping feet were like when you were 5 years old and you're trying to walk across the parchment paper. And again, this is not maligning you, but I feel like your feet just might be wet.
Ninja.
And stick to all the parchment paper. I didn't mean to jump on you like
you
this.
You really jumped on me.
But
welcome.
This is how it is. This is the show.
Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben. Hanging out with Henry.
Yeah, man.
Hope everyone's doing well out there. Yeah. We do have a small announcement this weekend. Indianapolis, Grand Rapids. It's going to be Henry and myself, Jackie and Holden. Jackie Zabrowski, of course, and Holden McNeely. Marcus Parks, he's still out with it. The little C. Thank God it's not the big one yet.
You see, this is a thing. Kissel's also been calling COVID the little C.
The little C.
Which is, I think, it is kind of cute, again, in a sort of anti-style way. But unfortunately, yes, Marcus's long COVID is going to keep him from doing the live shows that we got planned for this weekend. But it is still going to be the same amount of hilarity that you have ever experienced. Like, you're going to be
so fun.
You're going to be mystified by how much fun you're having. You're almost going to feel manic and scared. And you're going to wonder, like, was it always like this? And you're going to be in sort of a kaleidoscope, like, how will I ever not be high anymore kind of vibe, which is what I really hope for. Because you know that feeling when you're like 5:45 in the morning?
Oh, every day.
And you've been fucking partying all night. You know I just always remember that, like, in a fucking subdivision somewhere in Florida in some kind of rented home that they somehow, for some reason, they let a bunch of 20-year-olds just have.
Well, you rented it. The sun's coming up. The animals, the insects stop
all the
chirping.
Mirrors been pulled off the fucking medicine cabinets. Everybody's like, it's that weird thing where like, I think fucking Becky's dead. And then it just turns out Becky's like just gone. Obviously, Becky got sick. And Becky was sick of being there by 11:30 because she was like, can we please go home? I have to go to the golf meetup.
Who knows what people in college. Anyway, all right. Well, let's get into some stories this week. There's a lot of bodies involved this week.
Well, there is.
There's a lot of insanity that's being done to bodies. Should we start in Wisconsin? Do you want to go with that story first?
You want to do the grossest story first up top? Sure.
Well, you did slightly gag in your mouth when you were reading the story. And
to me, that shows me this has potential.
I'm just
as soon as I'm sick, reading it, I'm like, ooh, okay.
Wisconsin still got it. This is as close as we've seen to an Ed Gein like character, although not quite as nefarious.
It's not close.
There are similarities. I think when we break down the story, you will notice a similarity.
Only because both had breasts. Mary Kay Brown, who was a nurse, she plans for a dying man's foot. Now, again, you'd think that she'd let him know. But again, he's dying. I don't know. He's about to not have that foot anymore, but we'll get into the logistics and legalities of all of this.
Right. Well, the dude was 62 years old and he was in hospice.
He was not doing well.
No,
he
you are 62 in, the thing is, in life, it's fun to be a spring chicken, isn't it?
No.
But when it is.
I don't think so.
It is, because then you have longevity and theoretically, like, you live longer than that's why you smile when you're 20 and you frown when you're 80.
That's not true. When I was younger, I thought everything was going to last forever. And then, but also that was kind of terrifying to me. And it felt like all this like weights on me. I didn't understand how free I was until I turned like 35. But now I actually like life a lot better.
What I'm saying is you don't want to be the new young stud on the hospice block.
No.
When you're 62 years old, like my parents who just snuck into their retirement home at 60, they were the youngest people there. And it made them feel very good.
It's made
them feel young, made them feel confident. And in a way, didn't it bring the girls to the yard when my father went to the pool?
Good Lord. I think also my mom actually has this philosophy where she does start to cut off her friends as they reach a certain dying age.
Yes.
And then she repopulates
every one of her friends.
But she does that thing where she's been like, oh, you know, Barbara, she can't go out anymore. And it's like, yeah, because Barbara lost her legs due to fucking the mistakes she made her whole life.
Oh.
And now her legs are gone. And she's like, well, you know how it is. It's like, they just don't have a lot of wheelchair access at the quilt stores. And it's like, that's probably not great. But again, that's how my mom gets new blood in there, which is why she's more effervescent than she's ever been.
They do need wheelchair access at all quilt stores. Come on.
They do.
What else are they going to do?
A lot of times, I think they need like enough room that you could just be put in a big longer burger basket and dragged in.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? Ever tell you that story about the man who was much larger than 600 pounds in Stevens Point, Wisconsin? When he had to go to the hospital, they had to put him in an ambulance, and then they would weigh the ambulance and subtract the weight of the ambulance to figure out how much he weighed.
Oh, God,
isn't that crazy?
I mean, God bless science.
I guess so. Anyway.
That's a big scale.
So we don't know why this guy was 62 and in hospice. Let's just say he's not healthy.
He didn't do well, right? Now, this registered nurse, Mary, she said that she basically was real proud of her family's taxidermy show. And she told all her coworkers, you see that guy's foot over there?
Oh.
I'm getting it. Mm. And I'm going to get that fucking foot. Because it turns out what she said that what she wanted to do is she wanted to cut off the foot and then taxidermy the foot and then put a thing above it. Because as you'll see, what happens, it was completely eaten up by frostbite because
we'll
the old man
it.
Fell in the middle of his sleep. He fell out of his bed and there was nowhere there to watch him and the heat was off. And so his feet got frostbite and this is a fucking nightmare. But she wanted to put that frostbitten foot, taxidermy it, and put a sign above it that says, wear your boots, kids.
So the entire thing, that's why this is Wisconsin. And that's why we'll get to the punishment or potential punishment. I think it's a little on the high end right now.
I mean.
But we'll bring it down. I think they will end up bringing it down. It's all for a joke. That's Wisconsin.
It's all
Most of the crimes are all for a joke.
Funny little bits about moose balls and like how squeaky the little cheese bites are, you know, all that kind of shit. But so he ended up at Spring Valley because he had fallen. He had fallen in his home. The feet went out. He was there for hours. No one found him. He had suffered severe frostbite on his feet. This comes from Seattle Times. They described his feet as black like a mummy, which is not
goodness.
Good. Not
no.
good. Apparently, because he was in hospice in and out. And so they were looking at him and the nurse said, now we know she was thinking that she wanted this. She wanted
it
for content, right?
She saw it. She knew exactly what was going on.
But she saw the foot and she was like, we got to have to amputate this, right? But the thing is, they do need your consent. They need your consent to amputate still, no matter what. Even if I think that if you're unconscious or if it can, like, but they still have to talk to, I believe, I might be wrong, sidestories@gmail.com. But I believe they need at least next of kin's permission. Amputate.
What about the Hippocratic Oath? Isn't that the thing where it's like if a dude's dying, don't you got to help him?
You can't spell Hippocratic without a hypocrite.
Yeah, you really got all those doctors who are saving people's lives. Anyway.
She said, all right, we're going to do this because after he fell, because not only his feet were all mushed up, because his feet were all mushed up from frostbite, he fell back out of a bed and then he made his foot like a backwards foot. It was all fucked up, right?
Oh, God.
But they asked the dude, being like, we're going to need to amputate. Can we amputate it? And the man who said he was slightly coherent at the time, he said, no. Don't amputate it, but he did apologize for the smell it was producing in the room.
So he said, don't amputate it. That's my favorite foot.
That's my favorite foot.
I love that one.
Let's light a Yankee candle or something because it's getting kind of pungent in here.
Now, I'm going to say this. Obviously, your mother-in-law, she's a nurse.
Sure.
And unlike when you're at your fast food restaurants, Olive Garden, even a Fazoli's, the customer might be right.
The customer is always correct because it's the restaurant that is incorrect.
Yes, always. But in the case of hospice, I think the customer is often wrong. And I don't think the customer knows exactly what is best for the customer. And obviously, this man, again, made horrible life decisions.
Are you a customer or are you plant life?
Well, in America, you are a customer.
Ah.
Yes, indeed. That's the way our system works. So I feel like in this case, the fact he wanted to keep his diseased foot.
I want a foot.
That is black.
I fought
like
the war
a mummy
in that foot.
I don't think he did. He's 62. I don't even think he would be Vietnam age.
I
think he missed everything, which is why he was
weakened. I fought in Gamergate with that foot.
I do think he may have had something to do with Gamergate, but I'm just going to say this guy. Get rid of that foot, buddy.
The thing is that the doctors came in because they were like, because then the nurse, hard pressing, we got to amputate this foot. And the doctor's like, listen. He's just about to die. Let's stabilize the foot, and then we'll deal with foot gate after this, right? He's going to die. But then he kept living. Nurse just kept getting hornier for that foot.
More tapioca pudding, please.
Meanwhile, they're like,
damn it, man, you're still alive. More tapioca pudding,
please. We actually only put out 5 days worth of tapioca. We didn't think he'd keep going. And so he's just sucking up the tapioca for the rest of the fucking, I drink your milkshake. He's doing that to the rest of the floor, right? But at the same time, he is alive. They're keeping him alive. But eventually she said, fuck this. This is the right thing to do. That foot has got to go. Okay. Still not talking about this great bit. And I know bits.
I know bits, guys.
I stood in front of, there was a group of ravens that were all chewing on a rat on the street. And I waited for about 15 minutes to try to get the proper picture because I wanted to just had lunch with my agents and put that up on Instagram.
Funny.
It's a funny bit.
That's
funny
because they're a bunch of ravens.
Yeah, and they're all chewing on a carcass, right? They're scavenging. And it's also funny because my agent fired me long ago, right?
Right.
But turns out, now I'm realizing 25 minutes into waiting for this bit, I'm wasting my time. But this woman held on. For days. And then finally, she's like, fuck it. She rallied up all the nurses.
Mm-hmm.
They pinned the dude down.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, she can't do anything official. She can't do anything official because they would know, I believe. So she used local anesthetic on the foot.
Well, that was nice.
And the foot was so already, this is what made me kind of sick. Fernando's got head is in his hands. As that, she said that his foot was so far gone that all she needed to use to cut it free from his body was gauze scissors. Right? So it was just like, it was a gummy ankle at that point.
She went
a snip, a snip, a snip,
well,
snip.
At what point do you say, I'm sorry, sir, we're taking the foot?
The other nurses, they're pulling out. The other nurse was like, I had no idea. I had no idea we were amputating the foot. All I know is I was holding a man's hand. Until then, I saw loose foot. Loose foot everywhere.
Loose foot everywhere. But, and again, I understand this is wrong. You shouldn't be taking people's feet, no matter how gnarly they are. One person's trash is another person's treasure.
Another person's foot is another person's bit.
Absolutely. But the smell. Every day you go in, you're making fucking maybe $9 if you've been there for 5 years.
Just even talking about this.
And then all of a sudden, every time it hits your face.
Oh, you're just like, got to get that foot out of here.
But anyway, to kind of wrap it up here. So when they're like, God dang it, man, this guy had a foot. Now foot's gone. Who took the foot? And Mary Kay Brown is like, again, I had a great joke planned. I did take the foot. Long story short, she was arrested. She was charged with 6 different crimes, including victimizing someone over the age of 60. I didn't realize that was a special crime. I knew that they got half off on coffee at McDonald's.
Yeah, I thought it was really more on that. I thought that they got to go to the movies at 9 a.m.
But evidently, that is adding some time or potential time to this crime.
Wait, the doctors tried to stop it. Apparently, they came in. She popped the book and she popped the foot in a biohazard bag and popped it in the freezer. And she literally, like, it was fucking, like, she took it from a restaurant. And she was just like, no, no,
I'm saving. A little bit to go, please.
I'm saving that foot.
Or as they say in Europe, take away.
You remember Europe. And, like, you know, it was sitting in the freezer. And then the watcher, like, the doctor was like, where's that fucking foot at? And they're like, they all knew. Because she's been talking about the bit for days. She's
saying, got a bit, buddy.
Do
you have any idea what the late, okay, kind of good comedian Gallagher went through to get some of his props?
R.I.P.
That's why I don't even want to talk to Carrot Top.
Because, dude,
I know he's dead. That's why I said the late.
Wow.
He's dead now.
How did he didn't
get to
on?
Do
it,
and he didn't get to do his Uber helicopter taxi
yeah.
company,
yeah,
which is what he wanted to do, but that didn't really happen.
Never got it.
And because I don't really trust the man who created the Sledge-O-Matic to fly me in a goddamn helicopter.
No.
But this woman now faces up to 92 years in prison. Henry, I'm sorry. Even if this was your foot, I would say, first of all, good bit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And just ask the guy, do you think that's funny? Because if he's a true Wisconsinite, he'd probably be like, yeah, that is, people should wear their boots.
They, like, should wear their boots.
I do get if you sold him the bit, like, explain to the guy why this is funny.
Right. Well, maybe he was a bit of a curmudgeon.
He was incoherent.
He also understood that this woman was just coming in and checking on his foot like it was a beautiful goth-titted woman at some bizarre nightclub. And
I couldn't help but notice there you still got that foot.
But you mentioned on yesterday's Open Lines, thank you for listening to our serious show, how you would like to sell feet pics. And I said, no one want to look at your foot. But look
You'd
at this.
You'd be surprised.
Even this man could have had an only
craved
zombie
it, craved
fan
his foot.
Foot.
She thought about his foot all night. She set out a whole area in the taxidermy shop and, like, that's where the foot's going. And it's really fucked up. But the doctor, so I was saying, she put it in the refrigerator, right? He was like, where's that foot? And the other nurse was like, it's in the fridge. Nancy's going to, you know, Mary's trying to take it home, whatever her name is. Right. And he's just like, I want you watching that foot. That foot stays with this man. And that's the whole thing. Just being like, the foot needed to be with the guy in the bed.
Well, apparently, according to one of the people that was working with her there, she wanted to bronze the foot as well. So, which is a very fancy form of taxidermy, I suppose.
I think it's also probably because of this, the smell involved.
Yeah, and again, the bit. So there you go. She's facing 92 years. What are you in for? Oh, I stole a man's foot.
I ran an illegal butcher shop.
Yeah, that's what she would say. Any hoot. Well, so we'll see what happens. 92 years, though, that's too much. And I have no idea if the dude's still fucking alive.
I feel like there's a lot of people that are going to immediately say, how would you feel if someone took your foot? But
if I was
my
62
mind,
years old in hospice
sell me
with
the
a foot that looks... that is, it's rotten off of your body.
Yeah.
It's for your own safety. I'm surprised they even let him keep the foot.
It's because they knew he was just going to die. And I think at some point.
So that's almost worse, though, isn't it?
You know, I think it comes down to, we've done this with our friends, right? They're so obsessed with wanting this one thing. And eventually, there's the little bit of your kind of contradictory mind where you're like, fuck Mary.
Yeah.
Mary doesn't get the foot. Because that's the only thing I've heard out of Mary's fucking mouth. For the last 3 days.
Well, they're
about
all
this
sitting
old man's
around
foot.
There gagging on the foot also. I don't know. Anyway, all I know is there's a people who are currently incarcerated for doing far more dangerous things for far less time.
You're allowed to be a hero for 1 second.
I'm just going to say 92 years is too long.
Live from your grave.
This holiday season, the best deal in wireless can only be found at Mint Mobile. Right now, when you switch to Mint Mobile and buy any 3-month plan, you'll get another 3 months for free. This is Mint Mobile's best offer of the year. As the first company to sell premium wireless services online only, Mint Mobile lets you order and activate from your home with eSIM, while saving tons on phone plans starting at just $15 a month. By going online and eliminating the traditional cost of retail, Mint Mobile passes significant savings on to you. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan. Or if you need a new device, for a limited time, get 6 months of free service when you buy a select device and plan. The great thing about Mint Mobile is you don't have to spend time in a store waiting and waiting and waiting to get your plan. It's all there at your fingertips online. Especially for this holiday season, it can get expensive, so switching to Mint Mobile will save you some cash in the long run. For a limited time, buy any 3-month Mint Mobile plan and get 3 more months free by going to mintmobile.com/last. That's mintmobile.com/last. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/last.
Hey there, podcast listener. Have you ever been listening to Wizard and the Bruiser and thought to yourself, I wish I could see just how fat Jake and Holden are in real life?
Don't lie. We know all about your weird inside thoughts, listeners.
Well, now you can make that dream a reality because Wizbrew and Page 7 are going on tour.
Austin, Dallas, Milwaukee, Chicago, Minneapolis,
D.C., Philly, Brooklyn, San Francisco, L.A.
Nowhere is safe from an all-new show we're calling Release the Butthole Cut.
Ew. Come join your fellow LPN fans for a night of pop culture chaos that's fun for the whole family, assuming your family consists of equally broken weirdos in their 30s.
It's going to be a blast. Tickets are on sale right now at lastpodcastnetwork.com. Go, go now!
There's VIP meet and greet passes available as well, in case you want to get, you know, a little extra close, especially personal.
I legally have to clarify that there is no sexual element involved.
I mean, unless, you know.
Okay, geez, Jake. All right, stop winking, all right, buddy?
It's Page 7 and Wizard and the Bruiser live. Go to lastpodcastnetwork.com for dates and tickets.
Live life at your pace. Click the banner or go to visitwilliamsburg.com to discover how. Because here in Williamsburg, life moves at one pace, yours. Visit a live archaeological dig site on the very grounds where America began. Or walk the fields where our country was won. Live like a colonial by day or track 18th century ghosts by night. For all the history to be found here, there's plenty more to make for yourself. It's all waiting for you in Williamsburg. Book your trip today and live life at your pace.
My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it. But guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown. All right, give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do. And the memories keep cycling and I get emotional. And we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy. And that is not sad. That is celebratory. So you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Last Podcast on the Left is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. You don't want to miss Fluid Engine, because if you do, it ain't coming back around. It is a next-generation website design system from Squarespace with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. So let's say, we're doing well so far. We're moving these picks. If you want to move the Judge Reinhold non-clothed edition of a horse picks on the Clydesdale, you can drag it straight to your cart. It's that easy. You also can drag an entire giraffe ride trip for your family, because daddy gets the back of the head, right? You just drag that from the option menu straight to your cart and don't delete, because I'll know if you deleted. I'll know if you did it, thanks to Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace.com. Now, look at this video. We're going to show it on the Patreon feed.
All right.
This is I get a lot of UFO videos sent to me, and I love it. I love every minute of it. Keep them coming. I love your orbs. I want to suck on your orbs, right?
You're like Adam Levine. Is it Levine? Levine.
God.
gotta see that booty.
Gotta see that booty.
Natalie and I do that.
Gotta see that booty.
Gotta see that booty. All day long.
You're like a pirate. Mm.
Gotta see that booty.
Gotta see.
But here is this video.
Okay.
This one's super fucking weird.
All right.
It was filmed
right.
in what's called, in India, they have gated communities that they call societies. That's like a, what they call, like kind of like how they live. And okay. so this was filmed inside of, if you're in Florida, it's a gated community.
It's a gated community.
It is in India. And this was filmed outside of it. And I got to say, look at these orbs.
Wow. All right. Let's take a look here.
And then we'll play the video. Look at this, right? So,
okay. I saw something.
There's some people are saying that this is the reflection of the sun. On what? You fucking piece of shit.
Oh.
Look at the triple. Right?
Yeah, we got the triangle of lights, trust.
Right?
Sure.
There's something right there. Look, it looks like a dick and balls, right?
Are
but
they
it's
connected,
amorphous.
Perhaps?
Don't know. Look at that. It's all kind of like plasma-esque,
ooh.
Right? This is the type of shit that I wonder if some of what we're seeing is just natural phenomena that we don't understand, or as I have heard it,
mm-hmm.
called the immune system of the planet Earth.
Oh.
Look at these things. Look at these globules. You fascinated?
I am fascinated. It's three. They look to be sort of...
they float in and out.
They're floating, the little orbs, little globulars there.
Because there's
are
a lot of talk.
Are they intelligently controlled?
I don't know. There's a lot of talk right now saying that they do believe that. So obviously the UAP kind of the deluge of reports of UAPs have come a lot of times from our armed services. They've been saying a lot that
aerial
like,
phenomena.
Phenomena. It is all coming from our Navy, our boys, right? Our slick, wet boys out there, all got ready to like hard and ready to
the
fight.
Seals.
They're ready to fight any fish that comes out of the water.
And now that I think about it, I don't know why they call them Navy SEALs. If you look at SEALs, they're blubbery. I don't even think they're particularly violent or smooth.
Side stories, lpotl@gmail.com. Yeah. If you're a Navy SEAL, I'm going to tell you Kissel's address. And the goal is for you to see if you can,
they can get
steal
in.
No, Kissel from the
people,
why are you called a SEAL? You fucking arf arf ball handling motherfucker. Right? That's what he's saying. That's what Kissel's saying, the police officer.
I'm just
Detective
saying,
Benjamin Kissel.
I am just saying,
that.
Well, I don't know why they called them SEALs. I would have gone with dolphins or even
Fernando,
squid.
Do you know? Are you looking it up?
No,
he refuses.
No one cares.
SEAL is an acronym for what? It's an acronym for what?
Oh, special.
What is it?
Special.
Ejaculate?
No.
Special. So, you already said it. Special
ejaculate asshole liquors.
Simple and efficient adaptation layer.
E.
Seafood and eat it. No, it stands for C. Oh, where did you go?
Yeah,
we're gonna have
right.
to cut all of this out.
Oh, please.
We're
yeah, because you don't have the answer,
out.
So we have to edit
yeah,
it out. No,
yeah,
this
yeah,
one stays
yeah.
in. If me going to the bathroom.
Aaron Lant.
Oh, God.
You fucking piece of shit.
Fantastic. Anyway, well, yes, great orbs.
Well,
I see the orbs. I like them.
I guess we get back on topic. Thank you.
No problem.
These Navy men, when they're not singing and scrubbing, they see these giant, these big orbs. My father is a Navy man. I know how it goes.
Uh-huh. Right? I know.
There's a lot of talk. That a lot of this shit is that we are seeing some form of directed technology from another country.
Mm-hmm.
And that what the U.S. government is currently doing is allowing the UAP smokescreen to build. They're allowing it to be like, yeah, it's UFOs, definitely, absolutely, for certain, because they don't want to talk about it. It might be some form of new Chinese technology
could
that
be.
Is like coming and it is watching our boys and we don't know what it is. We don't quite understand because in my mind, I feel like if we don't recognize it and if we don't have it, right? Because we have the biggest military in the galaxy currently.
Currently. Right? Well, the Chinese also, they're doing pretty good.
Well, they have a lot of money, but we don't really know what they spend it on necessarily.
Unless we're looking at it right now.
But that's what they're saying. Or if
uh-oh.
Some of this
uh-oh.
Stuff.
Uh-oh.
Is some of the you uh-oh. Fucking? I'm ready
yep.
for you. To
I know
challenge
you're ready.
Ready
to punch
ready
me. Ready to punch me.
Ready to challenge me. Uh-huh. No, I meant to. Oh, I'm petting
you're like,
you.
Oh, now. Oh, now you're petting me. Ooh, thank you.
I'm sorry.
Thank you very much.
But they are. What if they retrofitted technology they had found from UFOs?
That's very possible.
Because that's where I'm thinking. That's where my damaged brain
buddy,
is.
Buddy, I'm picking up what you're laying down. I'm taking that amputated foot and I'm putting it right in my mouth. I think that's fantastic. I'm eating what you're saying.
I feel like there's something to that. Like, I still feel like that there's something in a hangar somewhere that can go up and down, left and right, and they kind of slowly, they don't know how to do it. It's like an Independence Day, which is why that's a psyop. And Will Smith is secretly gay. It's a psyop, right? It's all about fucking
what does
with
that
the
have to do with anything?
Culture jamming.
Okay.
Culture jamming. And that all of that is showing that there is, they have maybe some rudimentary understanding of the technology, but they don't fully know it. But maybe, you know, certain world governments have funneled a lot more money into, like, how do we get this thing to float and, like, go over there? And we go, like, hello. And then, like, and all of our Navy guys go, like, God damn it. God damn it, Wilson, quit scrubbing those, my asshole. You quit scrubbing my asshole.
Sure.
I take a picture of that UFO, all right?
So you're saying that we're cucks. We are military equipment cucks.
No, no.
We just watch.
U.S. government, don't ever malign them. We can blow so much fucking shit up. And if we got into a land war with China, we'll win. But the problem is,
I don't know about all that.
Oh, you're crazy. You guys are all like this. You just want more funding.
There's a lot of them.
We got plenty of funding. We're going to kill them.
It's not about money. It's about the power and the amount of people that they have over there. And then they don't care if they all die. And then anyway.
They care if they die.
That's tough to say. I was actually just reading about
the. I feel like we just accidentally wandered into, like, super controversial waters.
No, I don't think so. International waters. Just reading something about. Some of the apartment, they call them the tombs or the casket houses. Anyway, it's bad. There's a lot of people there, and there's not a lot of space to go around. What I'm saying here is this. When it comes to Ukraine, that is the battlefield that's been very interesting because they're bringing their new toys out.
I know.
And there's been a lot of sightings.
We got to use them.
We've got to use them.
They're just sitting in a fucking hangar.
Well, let's come back to America. Let's come back to a little bit more. Up to 40,000 minks. Now, these have been loose in Van Wert County.
No.
So isn't that exciting?
So this is just about loose minks?
Loose minks. Now, they're saying this might be an act of eco-terrorism.
Oh.
They say 25,000 to 40,000 minks from the Lion Farms USA so mink farm in Hoagland Township were released overnight.
Oh, now, look at that little mink.
Now, this is
kind of fun. Look at this. This is how you know it's my algorithm. I typed in minks, right? And the first thing it pops up and says, what does mink taste like?
Oh.
All right, here we go. This is on mink Reddit. Stole. Going to try cook mink meat. What does it taste like?
Can't imagine it's good.
All right. So apparently, yeah, some carnivores, because it's a carnivore, right? There's some biomagnification. I guess it's like they can be toxic to eat.
Well, maybe you don't eat them. People seem to wear them a little bit more.
Yeah, you're supposed to skin them or whatever. But then my question is, why can't you just shave them? Why do they have to take all, I guess the skin is what holds all the hair together. Why do you have to kill them to use them?
Well, one of the problems here, I don't know. One of the problems with this idea here, this is from ELF. That's the Animal Liberation Front there. We've heard about them forever. They say that they released all these animals, right? But the thing about the mink is it just kills. It's apparently quite violent.
Yes.
And it kills a bunch of poultry and stuff. So I think what they did basically was just unleash 40,000 violent malicious. So the chickens are like, could have released us. I'm a chicken. Because now these minks are just going to go. I'm peaceful. I'm a chicken. But now these minks are just going to go run roughshod over how many animals? Who knows? But anyway,
well, they're very territorial.
They are.
They're saying this for human uses. Yeah, they use them for fire. Health concerns. They can. That is great. They can also spread COVID-19.
They can?
Yeah. They're
Jesus.
One of those.
All right.
They can be infected with coronaviruses. But I guess they bite you. I bet they give it to you, bite you. It says right here. Because we gave their largest producer of mink fur in Denmark had a COVID-19 outbreak from a mink farm.
Really?
Yeah, all these sick-ass minks.
Whoa, mama.
Yeah. I mean, it's not good. I don't like this, but also at the same time, free the minks, I guess, or, like, keep the minks.
Well, they do look cute.
But you're not supposed to eat them. Apparently, people are saying it's not very tasty, which is, to me, the biggest crime of all.
I think they would be classified as sort of like a pest, sort of. But that's Van Wert County, so let us
here
know
you. Here you
if
go,
you hey. See any minks out there.
I can't find anything on eating mink. Meat is meat in my book, unless it's a pufferfish or something crazy like that. But I'm wondering why I haven't heard of something eating it. Right? Yeah. I've heard of you eating yotes, not mink. So how's it? I have one in the freezer. All right, hey, cook it up. Let us know, Jed. Wait a second. There's no grocery stores your way? That's another comment.
Oh.
This is on Trapperman.com.
Trapperman. We finally made it to Trapperman.com.
Oh, here we go.
I've tried about everything in North America. In my opinion, all the mustelids, which I've never
heard
of.
What's a mustelid?
That I've ever tried, right? River otter, mink, marten, badger, wolverine.
They've not been particularly tasty.
Stop eating them.
Some are worse than others. In particular, mink. I tried it once and only once. Not overly delectable cuisine.
Not overly delectable.
I disagree on your statement that meat is meat. On the other hand, mephitids, skunks, believe it or not, aren't too bad.
Oh.
Yep. Google the name Chicago and see where that word came from. All right, so I'm going to do it. Like, now I'm going to do that. I'm going to say exactly what he said.
Skunks.
Chicago, I'm looking it up.
Man, that's why I love the animal kingdom. When it comes to the skunk, they just adapted this fart, and it's right, just so
what
powerful.
What does the word Chicago mean?
Right. Weaponized flatulence. I love. You can't make that stuff up. It's better than Lord of the Rings.
The most accepted Chicago meaning is a word that comes from the Algonquin language, Chicaqua, meaning striped skunk or onion.
No shit.
I don't know why.
Well, that explains.
Why does it mean onion?
That explains why they like to have their Chicago hot dogs the way that they do, full of peppers and onions and all the and mustard. And if you even think about putting ketchup on a Chicago dog, they'll kill you.
Apparently, it's because of the wild garlic that used to grow there, and they could smell the farty lands of Chicago for as long as the man had nose.
No kidding.
That's incredible.
The old
and I guess
Windy
they're
City.
They're eating fucking skunk.
So that, I think, is the first time in human history that anyone has actually learned anything from a comment on the internet. Very nice. Very cool.
My goal is to remember. I think it's remember, especially now with like the chaos that's happening at Twitter, blah, blah, all this, whatever, right? We got to remember, the internet's not just four fucking websites, dog, right? The internet is infinite. Go to TrapperMan.com.
Absolutely.
Go to TrapperMan.com and make TrapperMan.com your Twitter, because Find your community, the crankers, right?
Yeah, sure.
Do you know how many emails we got?
The car crankers.
You know how many people said straight up they love cranking?
It was about seven.
Yes.
About seven.
But that's seven people that, I mean, I don't necessarily need to meet in person.
Well, this is nice. We do a Q&A now at the end of our show. Not so much a meet and greet, but it's great.
But like, you know, find makecrankintimes.com your Twitter.
Sure.
The internet is infinite. Just go someplace else. You know who also, but you know who found out the internet was actually a smaller town than he wanted to do?
Who's that?
It was a man by the name of Nicholas Oliverdian.
Hmm.
Now, Nicholas Oliverdian, if you look into him at all, he's a funny little guy.
Oliverdian.
He's a piece of shit.
Okay.
That was a sex offender. He was committed in 2000. He was convicted of sexual assault in 2008 for pinning a woman against the wall, masturbating on her. And he
Jesus.
Said, hey, don't be a bitch, right? Which is like not the way how you date, right? And so he was named a sex offender. And then he became sort of this face of essentially like incel culture for a little bit on the internet. He fancied himself also a human rights activist because he was raised in a facility known as the DCYF, which is the Department of Children, Youth, and Families. This was in the states of Florida and Nebraska because he was born in Nebraska.
Okay.
And so he was saying he received all these like horrible treatment as a little kid in these like foster systems, blah, blah, blah. But there are a lot of people that are now alleged that actually he was taken from his parents and put into foster care. And there's a lot of people that are now saying that, well, it actually was not just his parents could no longer raise him due to his being a, how do you say, not a great kid.
He was a troublemaker.
He was a troubled kid. He was a troubled kid. And he couldn't work his way through his family. I don't feel like it's when you're a kid, it's different. But it's what he grew into, which was obviously he campaigned for Pence.
Oh.
Immediately like a full like Republican thing. But they have just found him. They found him in Scotland. So he faked his own death. He faked his own death, saying that he died courageously of cancer and wrote his own obituary.
Yeah, how'd right? that go? It must be kind of nice to be able to write your own obituary and see people react. And
it's just
like,
all fake.
Who's sad? Who's not sad?
This is the beginning paragraphs of his obituary. In 2020, he said that he died of cancer, right? Nicholas Oliverdian's battle for life ended on February 29th, 2020.
Huh.
The children and families in the care of the Rhode Island Department of Children, Youth, and Families, for whom he inspired and led through turbulent government transgressions, have lost a warrior that fought on the front lines for two decades. He died going public. 2 months after going public with his diagnosis of non-Hodgkin lymphoma, he was in his 32nd year. At his bedside were Mrs. Oliverdian, who doesn't exist.
Oh.
There are two children who don't exist,
okay.
An extended family. His last words were, "Fear not and run toward the bliss of the sun."
No, they weren't.
At the time
they
of
were
his
not.
Passing, they
no,
were not.
Your last words again are, "You got the passport? Exactly.
Those were his last words.
Those were his last words as a free man, perhaps.
The room was filled with the sounds of the end credits for the 1997 film Contact.
Oh, my
God. By composer Alan Silvestri.
This
a film
is
and
so
score
fake.
Which held special meaning for Mr. Oliverdian.
No one cares. Also, Contact. It's a fine movie. Oh, my God. It's all static for 48 hours. I get it. It's great. She went through a lot of fucking bullshit to go meet her father. Also, oh, yeah. How expensive was it? Think about the tax dollars.
Oh, absolutely. But the key is that they found him in Scotland. So I was wrong. So he was from Rhode Island. Like okay. These are, I guess, that specific foster care system covers several states, right? But once he lost all this shit, like once he got kicked out of like the Harvard online schools classes that he was taking for being a sex offender without telling a bunch of people, he then had several restraining orders putting against him, especially against his first wife, who said that he was violent, and then he had several sexual assault allegations that followed him. So he faked his own death to get away from all that shit.
Okay.
And they found him in Scotland under the name of Alan Knight. In Glasgow.
Alan Knight.
And guess what he was in the hospital for? He was on a ventilator for COVID.
Oh, no kidding.
So they fucking got him, which has got to be one of my favorite arrest scenarios, where it's just because he's this, like, he thinks he's this maverick. You know, like, you know, nobody can contain him and shit. And then you catch him on an oxygen tank. That's fucking fun to be able to just, like, arrest him right there at the bed.
Gotcha.
Gotcha. And
gotcha.
He's like, no. She's like, gotcha, bitch.
Well, he really went way too far in on the obituary. No one's obituary is that self-serving. In a way, they're almost annoying things that family members have to do when you pass.
Yes.
In order to get the insurance money so that no one thinks that they actually killed you.
This is just, he's one of those like minor villains that I love get obsessed with. Like the other person that I got obsessed with this week was Sarah Boone. Who was a Dreading was a true crime YouTube channel I watched a video on. You watch that too. It's fascinating where she killed her alcoholic. She is a raging alcoholic who killed her alcoholic boyfriend by zipping him up in a suitcase and letting him just like choke to death in there.
Yeah, how'd that go?
It's not good. But she did not really know. You should watch her interrogation footage. It's very compelling.
All right. Well, the story that I'd like to bring to life is a little bit more about love.
Oh, yeah, I know, because you're always talking about love.
Talking about love, TSA, no matter where you are, it can be a little prickly. Australia, especially. Specifically, drugs, not so much. You try to even look at a fucking grape.
Oh, you don't?
They'll arrest your
you
ass.
You better not have had a sunflower seed that came from Los Angeles that arrives in Australia. You go to big time.
You got a dandelion in your butthole? Jam.
Oh, yeah.
You're done. 25 years to life in Australia. They're very protective. It's an island, sure.
Sure.
There's a gal. She got 4.9 million views on her TikTok because she was detained after having a butt plug that contained her boyfriend's ashes.
Well, how do ashes hurt the environment?
I don't know. But the reason that she has her boyfriend's ex, obviously he's deceased.
Yeah.
And they loved each other. And the reason she has his ashes in this butt plug is because, quote, it was his favorite place.
I mean,
in her butthole. So isn't
pray
that nice?
That Natalie has the same discipline.
Yes.
When I die, that she can just, at my urn, she rubs her titties on the urn.
Sure.
Every day. And she knows this. I've asked her about this. And she also says that with the prospective women that she's allowed to be with after my passing, because she's allowed to be a lesbian after, because I'll watch from the sky. I'll watch from fucking the urn, hopefully.
Yeah.
And then you just like, just show me the titties every once in a while.
Sure.
Just know that I'll bring good luck.
You're going to want to have a window then on your urn there. And maybe just if they could keep your eyeballs.
How do you
keep the eyeballs floating in there? So that would be kind of nice so you could see them. But the thing about this is, this woman, she, you know, when you fly, you get nervous.
I sometimes do, yeah.
And so sometimes you have to do things that are comforting only to you, and maybe people will say,
sure,
weird, like, why is Ben having 8 Jamesons before he flies? That's
so
weird.
You're saying that that's your little ritual?
I'm relaxing.
No, yeah, that's called
I have
drinking
to relax.
Alcohol, but that's a ritual.
Relaxing. This woman was wearing the butt plug, which means the butt plug was inside of her. And as she went through security. And then she says, I explained what it was, but there was a lady worker in earshot of that conversation, which led to some back and forth between us and the male officials.
She's just never had anybody that she would wear up her own butt ever for.
She's lonely. And she says the male guy did not like the vulgarity she was using to explain the butt plug, which she was just explaining.
What do you want? Also, she's trying to make you horny.
She's a young gal. She's very cute.
Yeah, put something up her butt. Who cares? It's up
her
butt. She's not trying to put it up your butt.
But. Literally, Because of all of this, the airport security, there's a whole group of people. They got their passports. They got their phones. They did this like she was smuggling a whole bunch of crystal methamphetamine or a group of children inside of her. Instead of just being like, all right, got it. Give me the butt plug and get out of here. Or just let her have it. What's the problem here?
Yeah, honestly, like I guess, I just even know. I guess they found it in the metal detector. I guess there was a little bit of...
It was inside of her. She went through the system. She went through the scanner, and then there's like, there's something in your rectum.
There's something in your rectum. I actually feel like, in a way, this might be on a limb here. It feels like she liked the attention of this incident a little bit, and that because in my mind what I would do is, because I know that the security system's a little invasive, if I had a butt plug of Natalie and I wanted to take it through, I probably would not apply it to myself until I was in the lounge.
Well, of course, when you're packing, you have to pack a lot, especially if you're going on a foreign trip. And so perhaps she just wanted to save a little room in her briefcase.
I mean, it's small.
And put it in the human briefcase, which is the butthole or the vagina. So she claims an hour later, after being detained, a big official came and had to sign a super long foreign document and said if we went outside of the airport doors, we'd go to jail.
What?
And then she says it was a long day.
And so did she go back to America?
Well, I'm not quite exactly sure what happened to her.
I say, like, again, it's up her butt.
It's
and I don't know what they're in zoo,
but
you are trying TSA. That's the thing, too. They're the ones making the rules. So you got to figure out how to negotiate that shit right there. And you have to figure out, you got to code switch and figure out who's too lonely to understand this. Because that one woman, you start crying.
Yep, you can always start crying. I'm not sure if they're going to really care where she's at there. So anyway, a lot of people had some jokes to make. They say, oh, I'm carrying your love with me. And then one person said, everyone grieves differently and it's okay to grieve privately, just saying.
I feel that she knew she was going to get scanned for security and it's a metal butt plug.
I don't know. It's not a metal butt plug. We don't know if it's a metal butt plug or not.
I'm just saying you should have it inside you, but when you don't have to go through a metal detector. It's because then you don't have to deal with all of this and then you can continue the morning and then have little butt orgasms all day.
She has taken her former partner's ashes on big adventures. She has said, my life has changed a lot and I wish he was here to see it.
That's
but
incredible.
I'm glad to take him with me to places like the Great Barrier Reef and concerts of bands he loves. We're going to see Bring Me the Horizon in December.
Well,
so now, everywhere she goes, she's got her butt plug in.
Do you think that he'd think it's a threesome if he's inside of her as a ghost, right, with the butt plug? But then she's still having sex with somebody else on top of while the butt plug's inside of her?
Yeah.
Is that a threesome?
Well, I'm just not really sure. Interestingly enough, Sarah's boyfriend had bought her this item as a gag gift. And she says, we lost touch for a little while, and during that time, he passed. And unbeknownst to me...
Oh, so they had already broken up?
I don't know. He knew he was passing and had it in a box, and I received it at his funeral. Honestly, it's the funniest thing he's ever done. I'll spend my whole life laughing about it. Which this really beats crying.
This is an interesting woman.
Yeah. So I do think perhaps they did have something going on and it was a joke, but now it's a joke that could land her in very serious jail.
And how have we found? It's two stories this week. It's
Sarah
two
Button.
Stories about bets sending you to 92 years worth of jail.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have another story that is unfolding that we're going to cover more as the details come up because it's very mysterious. But these four kids, one was a member of a fraternity, three were members of a sorority. They were found brutally stabbed to death in a home that basically someone called the cops saying that they said someone was passed out on the inside. They walked in. They were found at noon on a Sunday. They'd all been brutally stabbed to death with something called a knife-like object.
Sounds like a knife.
You're
to
saying
me.
It's a knife, but we don't know. There's no other suspects, but it's just this really strange, like, how does it, they're saying it's not a murder-suicide. They believe it's a homicide, but it's like the idea of four people versus one. They have no clue what happened. There's some kind of speculation that they all came for money. Maybe there was some kind of like weird ransom thing going on.
If you are going to rob anybody, don't rob college kids. They're broke.
They have
Even if
nothing.
They have money, this is their Rumspringa. Where their parents say, you go live on your own. And sure, they might get $2,000 a month or whatever in an allowance, but they're still going to be spending it
all gone.
On shitty booze and alcohol. So the Moscow, this is in Moscow, Idaho, interestingly enough. So it's very sad. Two 20-year-olds, two 21-year-olds, taken way too young. We have no idea.
No
who
clue.
Did it, and, just, we'll keep you updated.
Yeah, that's one of those we're going to just follow because it is very, very mysterious.
I mean, this is the closest thing we've seen to a Ted Bundy-like massacre.
Or Richard, very similar to Richard Speck. So a big old mass murder, which is kind of, it's very interesting to have, very interesting, but it's one of those where it's like, how do you do that? Like, how does one versus four work?
Absolutely.
Don't know. So maybe somebody they knew.
Perhaps. All right. Just lastly, people were vacationing in Acapulco.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Did you hear about this story?
No.
And then, so they're all hanging out at the beach and then three bodies just showed up and they were all fucked up. And then the pictures of the people, they're just at the beach, but then the body is just there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I think they just kept on swimming.
Hey, man, if you paid for that resort, I'll just be like, oh, it must be a bunch of towels and just keep moving on because I am not ending my vacation. Because we are here. It is Acapulco.
We're having fun, damn it. Last year, the U.S. State Department issued a do not travel advisory, which I did not know. Over 120 murders were recorded in Acapulco in the first 4 months of this year alone.
It's very beautiful.
That's
place,
like a
though,
lot. It is beautiful, but oh man, whoa. Apparently kidnapping is really on the rise. So I just remember Acapulco from like old movies.
No,
and
yeah, me
like,
too. It seems nice.
Yeah.
Like it seems like some fun place. You know,
so
like
anyway,
and very relaxing. It's like old school or some shit.
Yeah. The bodies, all the corpses were full of bullets. So they didn't survive there.
No, that's not good. No. Maybe they fell on them.
Yeah.
Maybe they tripped and fell on the bullets.
I just, you know, I don't know how the, just trying to have a nice vacation.
And you know what they found?
Nothing but trouble.
Nothing but trouble.
Live from your grave.
Hi, I'm Jackie Zabrowski.
And I'm MJ.
And I'm Holden from the Page 7 Podcast, and we're going on tour!
That's right, we're touring all up in this mother-freaking country.
I'm fake cursing, so whatever, Jackie. Just say the filthy F-word already.
And we will say the filthy F-word when we come to your town.
That's right, we're coming to Texas, the Midwest, the Northeast, and then right back here in Cali, baby.
For ticket links and more details, visit lastpodcastnetwork.com.
That's right, lastpodcastnetwork.com.
Page 7 and Wizard and the Bruiser present Release the Butthole Cut.
Wait, that's really what we're calling the tour?
Absolutely. Release the Butthole Cut. For more information, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.
Live life at your pace. Click the banner or go to visitwilliamsburg.com to discover how. Because here in Williamsburg, life moves at one pace, yours. Here, our waters are splashing and rejuvenating. Our history is for seeing and experiencing. Our theme parks are for riding and sometimes flying. And our great outdoors are yours for exploring and restoring. It's all waiting for you in Williamsburg. Book your trip today and live life at your pace.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
All right, everyone. It's time for Hero of the Week. This week's Hero of the Week is...
It's not the guy that ate the 40 rotisserie chickens in 40 days?
I don't really understand why he's a hero.
Because he ate the chickens.
Yeah, but, I mean, people just do that. People do that all the time.
No, because it's actually very bad for you because of the salt.
Okay.
And the chickens. But that guy did it because of something else. But now he's saying he'll never eat meat again. So
congratulations. I mean, you can't just be like, I killed 40 people. I'm never going to kill again.
Then. I mean,
oh,
hey,
now
man.
You're a hero?
Why are you comparing murder to eating rotisserie chickens?
Rotisserie chickens. Have a good time with it. I'm just saying, I don't think he warrants to be hero. However, what is hero?
A sandwich?
What is hero?
It's a sandwich.
This is going to be...
Heroes are Cena's lovely son.
Hero. Cans of pumpkin. Now, cans of pumpkin are hero of the week. So basically...
I'm not taking the bait. You said that this was going to really make me upset, but I feel nothing.
A mom claims pumpkin helped save her dog's life as veterinarians were stunned by the miraculous recovery from this dog who had terminal cancer. He was given 12 months to live. The dog's name is Coda. And sure enough,
12 months is like an eighth of a dog's life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a long time. It's not like humans where like a year to live is really kind of like it's tragically short where that's actually a very long chunk for a dog.
He had intestinal cancer, but the mom, she was a retired teacher. She was like, what if we give him a bunch of canned pumpkin? And they did. And so he lost some weight
It's the mom who's the hero.
No.
Because the mom is what fed the dog pumpkin.
Coda gobbled up the pumpkin, which is rich in vitamin A and C, and it helps build the immune system.
But the pumpkin was inactive.
Immune system.
No, the pumpkin was just present.
The canned pumpkin is hero of the week. So they say, we're just trying to think of anything that could help boost his health that would benefit. Without giving him the pumpkins, there's a higher chance he would have died.
Why?
He'd become such a part of our family. We just didn't want to lose him.
But why, though? Why was the pumpkin?
Because it has A and C vitamins.
So does a lot of shit.
Yeah, but they decided to give him pumpkins.
But the A and C vitamins, how does that help against cancer?
Well, it helped boost the immune system for Coda.
So he lives for how much longer?
He's still alive.
How long ago did he get the year-long diagnosis?
In 2019.
I guess it must be the fucking
pumpkin.
So
it was the goddamn pumpkin.
I also just don't understand because, again, it's the woman who chose the pumpkin. It's like if the pumpkin was alive and said, eat me, you should eat me. Then the pumpkin is, number one, a miracle.
Uh-huh.
And that pumpkin should be in the Smithsonian.
That's what they're calling it, miraculous. The oncologist did the scan and was shocked because it's an incredibly rare, aggressive form of cancer, and chemotherapy is usually not effective. But in this case, it was. Coda still munches on the pumpkin.
Well, he was still doing chemotherapy.
Yeah. So Coda still munches on some pumpkin three times a day to keep in tip-top condition. So canned pumpkin.
I think it's the hero of the week. The chemo is
the
hero of the week.
No, the chemo usually doesn't help. It was because of the pumpkin. Isn't that interesting?
So, you want this? You like this, ladies and gentlemen?
That's what they like to hear. You happy with this? I'm happy with it. Canned pumpkin for Coda the dog. And because you know, dogs are part of your family too.
I absolutely, and I'm gonna start eating pumpkin today.
All right,
I'm doing it the old way, up my fucking asshole.
It's rich in vitamin A and C.
Actually, I had pumpkin not too long ago.
Fantastic.
Now here's some listener emails.
All right,
now, this one is I've been saving for this. I've been saving this, and this was sent to me by a very smart listener.
Oh,
and I'm just gonna float this out there, and I'd love to see what comes back. I did a little bit of research on it, but I will see. Right? Because I want to see if I get any other proof. So, in 2002,
mm-hmm.
an investigation was launched into the 1977 to 1981 Canadian television show, Leo and Me.
I thought you were about a Camp Lejeune again.
No, Camp Lejeune is bad, dude.
I know.
One of those emails. People are drinking Jet Fuel and stuff. I don't want to go to Camp Lejeune.
I know.
I kind of want some of that money, though, in a way.
We're not old enough.
No. Now, there's a television show, Leo and Me. Now, what they said was an unusual cluster of Parkinson's disease cases that were noted among former cast and crew members of the show.
Weird.
Now, one of those members of that show was Michael J. Fox. Okay. Michael J. Fox and four other people were diagnosed with Parkinson's after all being on that show.
Cast what are the odds
and
of that?
Connected. Don't know. Michael J. Fox, they said there was an initial investigation into it. And this is on the Howard Stern show. And he apparently came forward. There was a little
bit
of
investigation. The Howard Stern show did the investigation?
Yeah, no. He talked about that they did an investigation because they researched this. They said this is a weird thing. Because
they would just send high-pitched Eric out to go figure it all out.
Hey, everybody. But they said that normally the incidence of Parkinson's in society is about 1 in 300. But
wow, that's actually higher than I thought.
Right. And then, but on this set, four out of the 125 people came out saying that they had Parkinson's, right?
Wow.
Or other advanced disease, right? So you didn't know what was going on. Now, this was set in Vancouver. This was where it was shot. It was shot in Vancouver and the hills outside of Vancouver. Now, what do we know about this time period? Right. So it was like, I don't know.
Oh, I know what we know about this time period.
It was 1977 to 1981.
Uh-oh.
Right. There was, you know, who knows? Right. Because it was an indie television show. Who knows? Right. Right. So let me wind it all around. Right. Now, there is some sort of, there's strong evidence saying that they believe that Parkinson's disease is caused by a prion. Right. Now, prion is like a rogue protein inside of your body. And a lot of prions, like, you know, sometimes what they do believe is that maybe the gut makes it and then replicates it again and again. And that's where Parkinson's comes from. It's like a genetic mutation and then things get fucked up. Right. But they also believe that you could potentially consume a prion, which is why, like, or a bad prion, like what we did with mad cow's disease.
Oh, yeah. Something. Blame it on the cows. Why don't you?
Right. So they're saying that, like, maybe you could eat it. Right. Maybe there's something you can eat it and you can eat the thing and you can get into your body because some prions can survive all of the digestive juices inside of you and work its way in your skin. That's how you get mad cow disease. Oh. And they're saying that maybe Parkinson's could possibly be one of those diseases, that maybe there's, like, it can be spread in that way. And so
looks like you have grumpy pig disease.
That's what my wife calls me. At the time period, there was a certain man that was active in this area.
Who could it be?
Willie Picton, Robert Picton, that we know was selling pigs to be consumed in this area of the world and at this time period.
Oh my God.
So there is this new conspiracy theory floating that maybe on this set, Robert Picton murdered a sex worker that had some early signs of Parkinson's without knowing it. Fed her to a pig.
To a pig.
The pig then got the prion inside of its body, and then it was sold to the cast and crew, like the catering company of a TV show, Leo and Me. That meat, and that they all ate it and got Parkinson's from that. Isn't that fucking crazy?
It is absolutely crazy. With the one of the crazier components is the idea that craft services would have a bratwurst or a hot dog.
Of course.
You rarely see it.
Honestly, that's where I used to miss. That's why I miss most about working in Atlanta. Is that sometimes those catering companies, they do work outside of their own homes, right? It's just like a mama, like making those foods. It's like, and so, like, who knows where they get the meat from? Because technically that's fresh ass meat.
Yeah.
Like, in real life, if that wasn't filled with sex worker meat in the belly of the pig, that's the nicest pig meat you can get because it's right down the way.
Okay.
You can go and pet the pig. You can go and stroke it off and shit, make it nice and happy before you slit its throat.
I don't want to do that.
I'm just saying, like, that's like as good as it gets.
So there you go. Picton might have one more casualty to the list.
Yes. It is fucking, is that crazy?
It's disgusting.
Like, very scary. Ladies and gentlemen, we're announcing here. We have availability for work here at LPN.
Wow.
What we need is, are you a Los Angeles resident? Are you even remotely close to Los Angeles and willing to come here? Or not even, honestly, it's better if you live here.
Yeah.
Email lpneditoremail@gmail.com because we are looking for a podcast editor right here. Send in your resumes. We need you as a part of the Last Podcast Network family.
Absolutely. Putting the uncle in Uncle Sam. Okay, everyone. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Again, we'll see you in Indianapolis. We'll see you in Grand Rapids. Apparently, it's cold as a witch's booby.
I am looking forward to the temperature, but I'm looking forward to the show.
We'll be inside, and then when we're outside, we'll have our little inside sweater, which is tequila.
Live your day every day knowing that one day you're going to end up on that slab, right? And all you're going to end up when you're in that morgue, when you're in that hospice, you're going to be a bunch of people who are going to be looking at you like you are a fucking, like a
10, like you're Bo Derek.
I think they're looking at you like a junkyard and they're waiting to scrap you, right? They're trying to take those pieces out of you, right? So what you got to do is love living an unhealthy lifestyle in the last year of your life, right?
Oh, you lead up to that.
You got to do you want to ruin those organs, ruin those feet, right? Because then when they come to fucking take, when that nurse was horny to turn you into a funny little bit for her, like, the roadside taxidermy fucking, like, place.
Absolutely.
She won't be able to get anything usable out of you, and then you can laugh your way all the way down to hell as you're watching her struggle with your mangled-ass fucking non-pedicured feet. Ugh, God, that's going to be rough. Make your feet unwantable for the feet market.
Well, just like Waylon Jennings, he went to the grave without feet. All right, everyone, thank you for listening. Hail yourselves!
Hail Satan!
Magustalations, everyone.
Hail me. Why don't you give it? Come on, hail him.
Come on.
Hail the boy.
See y'all soon.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.
Live life at your pace. Click the banner or go to visitwilliamsburg.com to discover how. Because here in Williamsburg, life moves at one pace, yours. Here, our waters are splashing and rejuvenating. Our history is for seeing and experiencing. Our theme parks are for riding and sometimes flying. And our great outdoors are yours for exploring and restoring. It's all waiting for you in Williamsburg. Book your trip today and live life at your pace.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.